Because even before I cooked up and launched my idea for Hometown, I'd have all the guys that I used to ride with, like they'd all come in here looking for stuff, like for their kids. I'd see one or two of them every once in a while. I'm like, oh my God, you guys do exist. Like, you are still here. Like, there are snowboarders in the area.
Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed firsthand the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking. On this podcast, we'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving business. So I'm here today on Black Friday of all days, before the opening of Hometown Board Shop, which is located in Inside Edge on Glen Street in Queensbury, with Felicia Lynn, who is the owner. And when did Hometown Board Shop open?
In my brain, it's like 5 years old. On paper, it's only 1 year old.
Oh, so a year old. So you just moved into here, though?
This is the first year we've had actual product, or I shouldn't say the first year, the first season. So this is our first official winter season. Yeah, it's you got to kind of like pre-buy everything a year ahead. So pre-buy last year this season.
So you've been working on this a while.
Oh, it's been a hot minute. Matt and I, my husband and I, are both from here. Grew up skiing and snowboarding here. We had, we were both ski instructors at West. I shouldn't say that. I was a ski instructor. He was a snowboard instructor. It was a whole thing. Romeo and Juliet. But it was, we had this like core group of snowboarders that like hung out. It was awesome. There was a bunch of them. And then of course, everybody, grows up, gets a big kid job, moves away. And then we came back and we're like, well, where'd all the snowboarders go? But then also more specifically, I'm like, where'd the snowboard shops go? So that was kind of what sparked wanting to put a snowboard shop back in the area.
So why don't we delve a little bit more into your background? So like in high school, you were skiing, snowboarding.
Yep. Dad had a ski problem. So it was,
My dad had a golf problem, but I didn't play.
That's my mom has the golf problem. Dad has a ski problem. So when we lived in Schenectady, we would always come up. I've been skiing since I was four, since I was old enough. My sister throws it in my face. She's like, I've been skiing since I was three. But yeah, since I was a little kid, and then high school, we moved up here to Queensbury. I raced for Queensbury when I was in high school and made friends with a bunch of the instructor kids and realized it's like, oh, they'll pay me to ski. That sounds great. So I started instructing, did that through college. At Greek Peak, studied outdoor recreation at Cortland, and then moved back to the area. Matt and I ended up moving to Vermont, and that's where we got involved with coaching competitive freestyle skiing and snowboarding. So we went from instructing the newbies to having like these know, high-end kids who were flipping and spinning racing and doing all sorts of fun stuff. So we have we did that for 10 years. We were in Vermont and then we came back here to West. West did have a free ski and snowboard program for a couple of years when Matt and I were here. And then we had the opportunity to go up to Gore. And then we went to Minnesota for a couple of years. That was really cool. The Minnesota snow scene is very rad. Very like rail focused. It's more like gritty.
Are the mountains more mountainy?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Smaller than West.
Okay. But really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the passion behind like, the people there, like the snow is the same. The mountains are tiny. It's just, I don't know. It's just grittier. It's cool. It's like, it's very, very
the way out West that
punk rock. Right. Like, whereas, yeah, it's a,
interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. The snow's too good in Colorado. It's like it spoils you. So yeah, that was fun. But then yeah, we came back here during the pandemic, and got set back up with Gore. Then last year, Matt and I finally got out of coaching and took. Yeah, we bought ourselves indie passes. It was the first year since we've known each other that we actually like paid for passes. It was weird. I didn't know how I felt about it. But then the first time we actually went riding and like didn't have kids with us and didn't have a time schedule, like an itinerary while we went to the mountain. It was weird. It was nice. We got to ski. I got to go on a date. It was great.
Right? You were doing all the teaching and coaching. Were you having much time to ski for yourself?
I mean, you'd have runs here and there, you know, or if we had like an early day, we'd continue to ride like, you know, just ourselves. But we were always like in our coaching coats, you know, still had to put on a professional look.
Yeah.
Not that I don't have to put on a professional look. People know who I am. Yeah. It's Felicia, hometown. I'm like, okay, yep, bye.
Yeah. That's what you get.
Yeah, but I love it. I mean, it's great. I know we, you know, Matt and I don't have kids of our own, but at the same time, people are like, no, you guys don't have kids. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have like 100 of them. I know all the local kids. You know, they're always asking me for like, you know, advice on tips, tricks, training, et cetera, et cetera. Like, oh, like, you know, this box is sticky. Okay, well, great. Did you wax your board? No, I don't know how to do that. Like, okay, come into the shop. I'll tell you how to do it. Hmm. Bring mom and dad so they can supervise, so they know what to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, we definitely, I don't know if it's the coaching thing or just my inherent, you know, friendliness. That
you're
is
just a born
creating,
nurturer.
Yeah, creating that like community and encouraging people to like talk together, work together. I'm good friends with the park groomer up at Gore, and we were actually just talking about getting some like rail jams and events together. There's the local USASA, that's United States for I'm gonna mess this up. United States Snowboard and Free Ski Association is the organization that Matt and I coached through. They do all the local rail jams, slope styles, border crosses. At like
so what's a rail jam?
Great question. So rail jam is, I'm trying to think of like a different sport that you can compare it to. And they're all going to kill me if I compare it to figure skating, but it's kind of like figure skating. Mm-hmm. Everybody has watched figure skating before, where you have people who are doing tricks in a very small venue. And they do multiple tricks.
Okay.
So it is a judged event, and you are getting judged on the tricks that you're performing. And it is based on your overall, you know, impression that you get to the judges. So like if you fall one time, it's not the end of the world. Like you can do other better.
Because you're doing tricks.
Yep.
So it's by like complexity, difficulty. And then is it to music or?
Oh, there's always music playing.
I've seen freestyle skiing where they do, and it's very much like,
yeah, it's not ski ballet in the sense that you're doing, you know, tricks to choreograph.
Yeah, it's not choreographed.
Yeah. Like, you know, this is my song that I'm going to do with him too. No, there's always just music playing in the background.
Yeah.
And it's like usually sometimes it's just one feature and everybody's doing the same or different tricks on the same feature. But a lot of times there will be like an option of three, and then lower there will be an option of three. So you can hit like the one top left and then scoot over to the one bottom right. You have the opportunity to hit two. And the difference between rail jam and slope style is kind of twofold. Rail jam, you do your two hits on the rails and then you hike back up. And you can take a rest if you need to, or you can just keep going, you know, hot laps. Whereas slope style, you get your rail hits and then you also get jump hits, which are great. And so you get jump score and rail score, and that's put together, and you just get two runs. You know, you get practices and stuff too. So like your whole, it's not like your whole day is just like, okay, go hit it twice, but it's just two scored runs. So is it a little bit more like pressure's on with slope style? It's a little bit more formal. A rail jam is a little bit more like, I don't know, a little more fun. I mean, they're both fun. But Matt, Rail Jam, coaching Rail Jam was his favorite. My favorite coach, well, actually his too, but I don't know. He likes to coach them all, I guess. My favorite coach, though, because I have the racing background, my favorite coach was border cross. And that's where four people get sent down a course at the same time. And there's rollers and jumps and, you know, you got to, I shouldn't say cut each other off, pass each other, you know, everybody's trying to, and then like top two advance and you come up and do it again. And, you know, it's bracketed until, you know, fastest guy wins for the day. And sometimes the fastest guy of the day doesn't win. Actually, that happens quite often because they'll just like either not be able to make a pass,
so there's a penalty,
bobble or something. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. And every once in a while we would do like, you know, coach race or something. And, mm-hmm. you know, just a bunch of us guys.
Yeah.
You know, all the kids are done and they're like, okay, coach, like you're going to do it. And we'd, of course, have like our backpacks on and stuff as we're going down the bottom. Just, you know, so Matt and I keep joking that we're, now that we're done coaching, we're going to actually
start doing more of
like
that.
Be athletes instead, so be on the other side. I don't know, we enjoyed having a year off last year, so let's, you know, we're gonna try that again before we get back into it. But
now you're a business owner.
Yes.
So when did you start really, because you said like 5 years, but like when did you really start thinking about the hometown board concept?
I have assignments from high school, my high school business class, where I had a like guide shop or a like an outdoor sports store. So it's, I mean, it's been brewing up for a long time, but the name Hometown Board Shop only came about last year. I originally had Sideways Sports Shop as the name, but then come to find out that's kind of already taken.
It's hard to find an original name.
Matt actually came up with the idea for Hometown because, you know, I was talking about wanting community and wanting to like bring everybody back and have like a central spot. He's like, well, why don't you play off like the Hometown USA thing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And apparently I was not the only one, or we were not the only ones to have that idea. We just saw that there's the Hometown shop coming up.
Yeah. I interviewed her a few weeks
ago. That's awesome. Yeah. And then the Hometown Golf that's coming in now.
Yes, that's right, too. Yeah. So, people are big on, because Glens Falls is really booming.
Yeah. So. And, you know, it's so funny. Everybody who, like, isn't from here kept asking me, they're like, did you see that there's a, they're stealing your name? I'm like, no, this is no different than saying, like, Saratoga Dentist versus Saratoga Bar, you know, or like the word Adirondack. It's a locator. Hometown USA is a locator. And I did try really, really hard to be within the town limit of Glens Falls, but I can see the town line. Town line is right there.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
We're just
on the other side of the building.
Touch it. Technically, I think it's on the other side of the Y.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think the quote unquote Glens Falls Y is technically in Queensbury also. I think so. I'd have to look at the
you're on Glen Street. Map.
Yes. Yep. So it's close. It's close enough.
Fitting distance. Almost.
I don't know if I could spit that far. Definitely could have golf ball that far, though, for sure.
So the idea to actually go into business then. So how did that all start brewing where you were like, okay, let's do this?
I had no idea where to start. It was so intimidating. I called the bank.
Good. Good first step.
Yeah.
All my banker friends would agree. That's a good first step.
And Deanna, Adirondack Trust. Everyone told me Adirondack Trust was great. Come to find out, I have all these friends at Glens Falls or Arrow now. Yeah. So I feel a little bit bad that I didn't.
It's so big, though.
I know.
Like, everybody works there. Every other person you meet works at Arrow.
Right. So, yeah, Adirondack Trust just came highly recommended. So I started there, called her, and she actually got me turned on to working with SCORE. So then I started working with the SCORE program through Small Business Association. And that was great because that was kind of like I could work at my own pace, you know, choose your own adventure kind of
free,
thing.
Right?
It's free. That was great. I was a little bit bummed that I didn't find out about the class at ACC until it was too late.
I was wondering if you might have done that. Yeah.
I might actually do that this spring. Even though I'm technically in business, I feel like I've still probably missed a few things. I want to, you know.
Plus you meet people and you make
so many connections.
I did one at a SUNY Albany.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard about this
one here.
And it was all virtual. It was during COVID. So I did one through there.
So that's, yeah, the getting up and running, that was super helpful because, yeah, just having those resources, having the like, oh, I have questions. Here's an article with the answer, instead of just being like, Google, what's my answer? And getting the AI answer, which is not always right.
No.
AI is a solid B+ student.
You got to know a little bit about it yourself so that you know if that's good advice or not.
Yeah. So that's been entertaining. To go through that process. But then, yeah, my with SCORE, I also got set up with that mentor.
Yeah.
Like every SCORE person, you get a mentor, and he's been great. Definitely, you know, when I first started this whole process, the idea of like, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 for a car seemed like an outrageous amount of money.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I can't afford that. How am I going to come up with that money? Like, you know, it doesn't grow on trees. They say it does. It doesn't. But then now, after going through this process, I'm like, $1 million. Like, that's reasonable. Yeah, you need like a long-term loan for that. Like, that's all right. That's all right. I'm like, I realized that over the course of 6 months, I went from $20,000 to $1 million being
right.
Like, so my brain totally rewired.
That's good, though.
Yeah. And Matt was funny. He's like, yeah, you've been... He's like, the way you just talk about business over the past couple months, it's completely changed. So that's been, I was like, I didn't realize it was happening.
You're a great example then for others that are thinking of starting out.
Yeah. Make sure to give yourself time and go slow and definitely get a mentor. That is somebody to like talk you off the ledge when you're about to quit and to just power through the beginning of it. I don't know. I feel like running a business is going to be very hard. I know that's going to be very hard. I'll just make that very clear. I'm well aware of what I'm getting myself into. But like, once it's running, it kind of just runs itself. Starting? Hard. Like, really hard. Like, I understand now why they say, like, you know, 90% of businesses or whatever the stupid, you know, pitch is. I'd have to ask AI.
We'll do research on
Yeah, make sure to fact check me on that one. What the percentage of like failed startups? Most
percentages are like how you look at them anyway. So it's kind of good to just give you. It's just
what does Matt always say?
A huge percentage.
Yeah, like liars use statistics, but statistics never lie.
Yeah, this came up in Thanksgiving conversation yesterday.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's like you can make the statistics say whatever it is you want them to say. 90 or 100% of board shops are very successful.
Yeah. Especially the ones in Glensburg.
You know, so that's it's all about how you look at it too. And I think every person I've talked to is like, oh my God, this is exactly what we need. This is like, you're going to kill it. Like, this is going to, so I'm like, great, high expectations. Okay. Yeah. Don't disappoint everybody. Yeah. No pressure.
But you need that kind of optimistic outlook to keep you going when times do get a bit rough.
I mean, that's the one cool thing is like this particular spot, 643 Upper Glen. So Inside Edge has been in the community for 65 years, but it's been in this building for 40.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. So it was funny. People were like, oh, well, where are you going to like, you know, move into? Like, I'm going to stay.
I think I bought rollerblades.
Yes.
So like, that was.
Everyone's been here. Everyone.
Early 90s or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We used to sell skateboards, did tennis for a long time. The story on how this place actually started selling bicycles is hysterical. That was a complete accident. I think Tom wanted to buy four and he like ended up with a pallet somehow. But yeah.
So I was like, okay.
You gotta have Tom, or not Tom, you gotta have his son John tell that story. It's a funny one. But yeah, that was a complete accident. And then we've been a bike shop ever since. And yes, everyone keeps asking me. They're like, are you going to continue with bikes in the summer? Yes. Mm-hmm. So that was the big thing with hometown board shop at first was just going to be boards. That was like my whole idea was that Sports Page and Inside Edge were still going to exist. And then we were going to be a third guy in town now that Fall Line was gone. So I was like, I was going to do snowboards, skateboards, paddle boards, just
anything. So any kind of boards.
Why it was going to be sideways sports because sand sideways on it. Yeah, I had taglines. The whole thing was marketed, and then I found out that somebody else already had, and I was like, dang it. Then hometown came about, and it's a And then very quickly after, probably within a couple months, the guys here got wind of what I was doing. And instead of being like, you can't do that, they were super encouraging.
Because you worked here.
Yeah, I've worked here for a very long time. Yeah. And yeah, I'm like, I mean, the twin tip skis and snowboards go right hand in hand with each other. So I was like, I was always kind of planning on sort of being a pseudo ski shop, at least for, you know, twin tips. So I was like, all right, well, I guess we'll do all mountain skis too. And cross country. Yep. I can't wear. That's the other thing too, with being right here at 643 Upper Glen. Bulls Woods is right behind us.
I've heard that they've got great trails for it.
Yes. And they actually just finished this incredible lighting project. All the original, the lights that exist have always been above ground. So every time we get a big windstorm, wires get knocked down. So over the past couple of years, they've been actually burying the wires. Mm-hmm. And I keep talking with the guys that we're going to do a story on it. So don't be surprised if you see that one coming down the pipeline soon. But the lighting project has been huge. So now we have updated lights. So it'll be better for the environment, you know, better lighting out there. And it'll be, hopefully we can just get more snow. It's like the past 2 years were rough. But yeah, that is, I can't be a ski shop next to a cross country ski center and not have cross country skis. So we actually just got a huge 2-pallet order of cross country skis and boots that showed up Wednesday afternoon. I was like, really? Okay. I was like, I got to put Nordic skis out on Black Friday. Couldn't have shown up 3 days earlier. No, we were hoping it was going to show up on either Monday or Tuesday, and it just showed up late. So yeah, but it's all good stuff. Stuff's coming in the door and just needs snow now.
You started out well because you got into the program, the SCORE program. So you had a bit of advice there, but what other sorts of challenges have you found as a business owner for the first time?
I'd say trying to balance the in-store dedication to customers with also the back end stuff. Because I want to spend all my time talking with my customers, but at the same time, I've got like, there's multiple days where I'm like, I just need to go lock myself in the office and not talk to a soul.
That's a huge challenge for people before you get to the point where you can hire and have a good manager or that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, people are like, oh, you know, nobody wants to work, you know, it's hard to find good help. So, no, it's the people are out there and people do want to work. I firmly believe that it's just a matter of finding the right people at the right time.
Yeah.
So it's not that, you know, it's like, yeah, I have 4 people that want to work for me. I'm like, but they're either just not available for the right days or they don't have the right skill set, but maybe they have the passion. So I'm like, okay, I got to train them. That's cool. So just getting, like I said, the right people at the right time is key.
That's why a lot of people are always recruiting.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when you're going to
need that person.
For
sure. And I'd say the other problem or the other like kind of hurdle that I had to get myself over was myself. Just simply my confidence in myself.
Yes.
Is a big one.
So tell me a bit about that, though. Like, you know, how have you found it building?
Oh, I still have no idea what I'm doing. I will be the first one to tell you that.
But you're just, I'm doing this.
I'm doing it. And I always have to like coach myself and like, you know, use my coaching, like,
right. Yeah, because you're a badass coach.
Like, for myself, it's hard to coach yourself.
Yes. Coach others. Yeah. Tell others what to do. It's much harder to take that advice yourself.
Is one of the most important things to know about yourself is to admit when you don't know what you're doing and when you need help and also asking for help.
Yeah.
So that's why Matt is my go-to guy for numbers. He does the books because like I definitely need to be double checked. Yeah. So not only do I have Matt as my bookkeeper, but then I also have an accountant. Social media is bad for me. I am one of those people who
I'm seeing
hours.
You out there, so it's getting out.
You are not seeing Matt. Me. You are seeing Matt. Yeah, Matt does a great job with the social media. So yeah, because I know that I need to stay off it. But at the same time, it's like I know my strength is the in person. As soon as somebody walks through that door, like I got them. And my mom actually works here too. My mom. She last year started helping us out. I was like, Mom, can you help out like a couple days a week? She's like, I don't know anything about skis. I'm not going to be helpful for you. I'm like, Mom, I just need a body.
Yeah. Right.
And someone to greet people at the door and say, Felicia's over there working in boots. Turns out she's really good at it. All the kids that come in for lease stuff love her. She was a teacher for a long time too. So like she gets drawn to like working with the kids, which is great.
So it's good to have family support.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, are you guys like mother, daughter? Oh,
right. Because you like, trust.
Sort of.
You got trust there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and that's how you're for real.
Yeah. Like, definitely butt heads a little bit, but 90% of the time we're solid, which was pretty great. I tell people all the time, I'm like, if you're ever bored at work, hire your mom. It's cool.
Make life interesting.
Oh, yeah. So that's been fun. And I got my two techs in the back.
You
so,
gotta have good tech.
Yeah. My ski guy, Dan, and then my bike guy, Bruce. They've been here for a long time. They're both like just funny. They're just funny guys. So yeah, we got a good little crew, and you know, same thing. Always hiring.
Right, cause you don't know what's going to happen. And so it's good to have a pool of potential good staff members.
I have at least 4 or 5 like young, like high school kids that actually want to work here, which is awesome. And I haven't seen that in a couple of years. I've been gone for a couple of years, but to have, you know, like I've got one kid, he's a Nordic ski racer. Unfortunately, he wants to work in the winter and he has his practice and race schedule that we have to work around.
That's why you need a few of the young people, because there's always going to be scheduling issues with that.
Yep. And then I've got a couple of like, you know, kids who are big in like the bike community, which is great because then I get them all summer.
That's good.
And I love teaching. So did you say you almost got a 360?
Yes.
Okay. For the record, that's Charlie. She just learned how to snowboard today in the shop.
Now she's doing 360.
Our snowboard addiction training tools. So you guys will be able to see that on.
Wow.
On what do you got on Facebook, Insta? What do you put it on? Yeah, completely unassisted. Okay, that's gonna be a great post.
Yep, there she goes.
Never snowboarded before.
Yep, awesome. There you go. We're gonna have to send one of those to Georgia with you guys, right? Well, you guys got snow last year.
Yeah,
see,
you're just bringing one kid at a time. The next generation, right?
It was perfect. Yeah, but those training things that we have in the back are awesome. They're trampoline skis and snowboards, but then there's also this like bar that you can put on the floor so you can practice, you know, your balance on rails, like in the living room, of course. Clear the furniture, make sure you're not going to fall on anything. Use the mat underneath. These are all very important things so your mom doesn't get mad at you for scraping up the floor. Don't ruin my carpet. Run into the coffee table, et cetera, et cetera. Wear a helmet. Very important.
Wear a helmet. I heard about that yesterday too, about at our Thanksgiving table, about how we used to ride our bikes everywhere and never.
No helmet, right? Yeah. Cars went slower. Bikes went slower. You know, they got 40 electronic options on a standard e-bike.
Those e-bikes zoom. I mean, there's been so many car e-bike accidents.
I mean, drivers being on their cell phones, you know, the bicyclists, pedestrians, scooter riders, just everyone. I feel like everyone needs to just take driver's ed all over again. You know, road safety 101, and then we'll
for everybody. Like, it should maybe put it in school so that everybody has it, because pedestrians should know.
Right. So, well, it used to be, it's funny, because we get a lot of like old vintage bikes come through here, which are so freaking cool. A bunch of the old ones have like stickers on them that say like bicycle license.
You used to have to register your bicycle.
And take a safety class. So I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if that comes back again, that you have to have a sticker on your bike, which would be a pain in the neck. But at the same time, like, if it's just a matter of like, you know, go to the bike shop, watch a 20-minute video, and they'll give you the sticker. Like, it's going to be something super easy, but it's just going to be something acknowledging the fact that like, yes, you have to stop at stoplights. Yes, you're allowed to be in the road. Like the whole share the road thing applies to cycling.
We should
sidewalks. Yes. No e-bikes on sidewalks, period. But then it's also drivers remembering that like a cyclist does have the right to take the whole lane. Like you can honk at them all you want. They have the right to be there if that is the safest place for them to be. So It's that's why gravel biking actually became really popular, is because everyone wanted to get off the main roads. And they'd be so, you know, people just search out gravel, which is actually really fun.
I can't imagine wiping out gravel.
Well, that's why you have a knobby tire. So yeah, you know, you're not going to fall. It's fine. Just ride to your environment.
But my issue with the bikes is I'm not sure if it's an e-bike or a regular bike coming at me. So you're not sure how quickly something's going to come up alongside you.
You're always supposed to be traveling with traffic.
Yeah.
All bikes. So anything with wheels, really. So scooters, I think technically rollerblades even count as wheels. But anything with wheels is supposed to be in the road traveling with traffic. So in theory, you should never have anybody coming at you.
No, but
other than a pedestrian.
That's the
right. So that's where education.
Because that's what I used to tell people all the time, because I heard this statistic many years ago, that most of the fatal bike accidents were from bikes riding the wrong way. Because a head-on collision is going to be a lot worse for you.
Basic.
So I used to always tell people that when I'd see them, because I used to cycle to work every day. But I was in London.
Nice.
I used to cycle because it was a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I could get to work and the time it would take me to go to the bus stop at the train station, I would just get on my bike and go.
My apartment in Minnesota happened to be really close to work. And the storage for my bicycle was in the basement. But it was funny. It was in the city. By the time, it took me the same amount of time to get in my car, go to work, find a parking spot, because I'd have to go around the block four times. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to take my bike. But then by the time it took me to go all the way down to the basement, go get my bike, bring it back out, and then go, you know, lock it up at work, I was like, I ended up just walking. Everyone's like, you don't ride your bike to work. I'm like, if I could grab and go out of a garage, probably. The fact that I have to go get it out of the basement every day, I'm like, no.
Mine worked out, and then I had all my I'd wear business suits and stuff. This is the all my suits were at work.
Yeah,
so I could just go get changed when I got to work.
That's
change back into my bike stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But traffic, motorcyclists were the toughest to do it with, because they also, they're supposed to stay in the lane and not scoot up in between the traffic at the lights and stuff, and I'd be waiting patiently because I didn't want to ride between cars.
Like I have my big bubble if I just stay right here.
So I'd get a motorcycle behind me, come on, move.
I was like, no.
So that was my hardest thing.
Yes.
And hills,
of course,
because I didn't have an e-bike.
Yep.
I don't know if they had e-bikes.
Probably gonna let on.
So then you've got summer covered, because that's usually a lot of people's question.
Yeah.
Because you're doing all boards.
Yep.
But you're also doing bicycles.
Yeah, I'm currently going through the, you know, do I also just do a DBA that has like, and have my friend who wrote up the logo.
Yeah.
That's actually just his handwriting on an index card.
I was going to say on a napkin.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how ideas are born.
Yep. It was technically on an index card, and they framed it for me, which was really cute.
Nice.
After his dog ate it. So it's very cute. Yes. That's, Cody the Lab. Or no, what is it? Cody, what's his Instagram handle? Cody the Champagne Lab. Make sure to follow. Yep. He's famous. So that was, it's not that one. It's the one down here.
Yeah.
That one's the official.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, leave it here. I'll take a picture of it.
And so I was, I joked, I'm like, you know, Ryan, I think we're going to have to make up one that says bike shop also. And I'll just, you know, file a DBA that says, you know, hometown bike shop also.
Yeah, yeah.
And I put it on a shirt.
Right.
Then it'll be legit.
But it's good, because then you've got year round.
There was a small period of time before, and you know, it's still a possibility. I don't know if the winter side of everything takes off, then, and I can have summers off, that would be awesome. Yeah. Matt's a teacher. I would love to have summers off with him and actually go travel and do some ridiculous trip, like go to New Zealand or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't take a month off if I'm also doing bikes. Because Alpine Sports in Saratoga, they closed for the summer. And it's awesome. Jack is super cool. He was actually one of my customers when I worked at Grey Ghost.
Going there on Monday.
Nice.
I'm doing a whole winter sport.
Yes.
Retail. I will.
Yes. Yeah. Jack is wonderful. He's got a great story. Ask him about the time he went on a bike trip and then had to ride home in the bed of a truck. It's a great story. He was okay, by the way. But it was, yeah, it's a very tight-knit little community, mm-hmm. and everybody does it a little different. I mean, yeah, Sports Page has their patio equipment in the summer. So it's, you know, or just
does their thing.
Does their thing. However, whatever works for you, mm-hmm. you know, and that's like every business, even if it's just like, you know, contractors. They, you know, everybody's got their specialty, their fun stuff.
How do you keep going?
You know, even before I cooked up and launched my idea for Hometown, I'd have all the guys that I used to ride with, like, they'd all come in here looking for stuff, like, for their mm-hmm. kids. You know, I'd see one or two of them every once in a while. I'm like, oh, my God, you guys do exist. Like, yeah. you are still here. Like, yeah. there are snowboarders in the area.
So you need it to be a bit more obvious.
Yes. And that was the other fun part, too, is, like, so that's where the board shop kind of started taking on multiple meanings for us anyway, is that, so to me, snowboarders have been buying their snowboards in ski shops forever. So there's no difference in a skier buying their skis in a board shop. Exactly. And then on top of that, sliding on snow is sliding on snow. Okay. It doesn't matter if you're going
to the same places, the same
lift ticket. Yeah. Just some people point forward, some people point sideways, and some people don't go down the hill at all. They just go on flats. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, they're going downhill on Nordic skis. Is a different skill in itself.
So you got a lot of potential for the future here. Now the season's really getting going now.
So adding that Hometown yeah. board shop vibe, mm-hmm. that, like, you know, I think, yeah, that that like park community has been underrepresented or underserved. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, there are, you can go buy twin tips anywhere. You can go buy a snowboard in the area. It's not to say that it doesn't exist. It's just that, like, it's, you know, you walk in, it's like the ski shop. Yeah. It's like, whereas I walk in and I'm, or, you know, people walk in here and I'm like, oh, sweet. Like, you need park poles? You need those tiny little kids poles? I was like, all right, like, game on. Like, yeah. I'll sell you the wrong size poles. They're not the wrong size. They're just tiny.
But you bring all that experience, the two of you.
That's, I mean, that was our world for 15 yeah. years.
So you have all this experience mm-hmm. from your whole life, really.
Yeah, just deep in the free ride community for 15.
Yeah.
But like I said, I come from a racer background, so like I've been both. I've yeah. been the troublesome racer. I have been the instructor. I have been the, you know, rambunctious snowboard park kid. Mm-hmm. You know, that basically if there's an old fogey somewhere who has complained about a group of people, I have probably been that group. Oh.
The troublemaker. Now you're a responsible business owner.
Uh-huh.
Member yeah. of the chamber.
Yep.
Right? So yep. it's official. The responsible adult. Is that tough to swallow?
No, because this is just the fun middle part. Like, I also cannot wait to be retired and, like, be the, you know, the person with all the wisdom and the mentor that a small business newbie is coming to me for advice. Right. But, like, I'm not there yet, yeah. you know. But those are the things that mm-hmm. I look forward to.
That's awesome.
You know, so this is very much my middle, mm-hmm. you know, if we took a little intermission there for a hot minute, mm-hmm. and now we're in the second act, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, who knows, maybe we're still in the first act, maybe there's five acts, I don't know how long this play is.
There's always another act,
right?
That's what I believe, right?
I have people come in all the time, and they're like, well, this is the last pair of skis I'm ever going to buy, or this is the last bike I'm really? Ever going to buy, and I'm like, well, not with that, well, of course, with that attitude, yeah. it will be, I'm yeah. like, My grandma and my grandpa both had they had trikes
oh, wow.
in their mm-hmm. like their retirement community in Florida. So I'm like, oh no, you're still on a two wheeler. Like you still got a trike after this.
Yes,
like
right.
this is not your last bike.
That's like before you get to the golf cart stage,
yes.
right? You got your trike. Or what about recumbent bikes? Do you get many people looking for them?
A surprising amount, yeah. We actually just worked on one that was super cool. It was a three-wheeled recumbent bike, and it was set up like a spider, so it had two wheels in the front and one in the back. But my favorite one that I was ever on was a fat tire quad, so four wheels, and you sat in it, and it actually was operated with it was handlebars, but they're mm-hmm. joysticks on each side. I will never forget. I actually, like, when the guys were done tuning that thing up, this was a couple years ago, I took it outside and I was like, all right, guys, I put on a helmet. I'm like, I'm going to try and flip this thing over. And I did. You cannot flip it over. Mm-hmm. They are the most stable thing in the entire world. And it was awesome. the amount of G-forces I was able to put into that thing, like in corner, it just, yeah. My people ask me all the time, they're like, what's your favorite bike? I'm like, a recumbent quad.
Can you ride those on the street? People do.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a recumbent bike around here in the years I've been here. Like, I've been here almost.
Yeah. People are typically.
Because you have the flag.
Yeah.
Because that's my concern, is visibility.
Correct.
With those. People so, being able to see me.
Yeah, you see them more on the bike path, for
yeah,
sure.
I do.
Because that's the way they're not worried about cars as much. And then you don't see too many mountain bike ones around here. But I have, depending on, like, you know, if you have a good adaptive program close
yeah,
by.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah, there's a...
I've seen some incredible mountain bike versions.
Yeah.
Which are just freaking cool machines, man.
Should have something like that around.
Pico is a really good one. Double H has a really good program. Mm-hmm. I know I'm missing somebody. I know Wyndham used to. I don't know if they still do now that they have the changeover, but yeah. That's also the fun thing. I gotta, like, stay up on my mountain drama. Know who.
Right? I'm sure there's a lot of politics and drama.
Yeah. Oh, and Willard's under new ownership. That would be another very good article, by the way, is, you know, the goings on over there, like, yeah, the new guys and what they're planning on doing. Everyone that I've talked to over there is, like, pretty excited about it. So, not that the old man was, you know, not doing a good job. I think they're doing a great job, but it's always fun when new blood comes in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Neat,
yeah. So I would love for them to actually, because they have the freestyle moguls team. I would love for them to actually put in a freestyle, like, park style team, or free ride team, I should say. But yeah.
That's exciting. So is there anything else you want to include in?
Yeah. Pray for snow.
Pray for snow.
Yep.
Say that again.
Pray for snow. Yeah.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.